Hi, my name is Patty Morrissey, and my favorite thing is shopping at thrift stores.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome to Finding Favorites. It's Sunday, November 21st, and in a hilarious, strange, wonderful world that I live in, I recorded this week's episode on Monday night with my dear friend Patty Morrissey, and in it, we joked about her coming to Chicago to help me organize, and then she texted me later and said, what if I come on Saturday? So Patty came to town yesterday and has been helping me organize my house to get ready for, you know, the rest of chemo, getting my life set up, just kind of a good reset as I head into the next 10 weeks of chemotherapy. So it's been very funny this evening to step away from a friend to edit a conversation you had with that friend earlier in the week. So like taking time out of precious in-person hours to do a digital task related to being with that same friend. So I will keep this introduction short and let you enjoy Patty Morrissey and I talking about thrifting and all the work that she does as both a KonMari consultant and the owner of Clear and Cultivate, the Cultivate Club. There will be links to everything. She's based in New York, but the internet means she can be everywhere. And airplanes mean she can also be everywhere. I'm really grateful, again, to the support of my friends and my family this week. Second week of chemotherapy, I got acupuncture. I slept for 4 hours. I came home and got a lot of energy from the steroids. And so I went to the car wash on Friday night, which is a normal thing to do after chemotherapy. I don't know. I still have my hair. I'm anticipating it coming out this week. And I don't know. So take care of yourselves. Have a great Thanksgiving. If you got a 20-pound bird, take it out of the freezer. You got to start thawing now if you're going to be able to cook it safely on Thursday. Wear your mask, wash your hands, and keep enjoying your favorite things. Hello, and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about people's favorite things and we get recommendations without using an algorithm. I am joined tonight by my dear friend, Patty Morrissey. Patty is the founder and head coach of Clear and Cultivate. They facilitate fresh starts. They have the Cultivate Club, declutter parties, training and coaching. I brag about Patty for a lot of things. There's so many things. But I do appreciate the shine I get when I'm like, oh, Patty, she's Marie Kondo's go-to in the U.S. Like, that's very fun to say. You were one of the very first certified Marie Kondo consultants in the United States, and you have spoken on her. Like, there have been times when she hasn't been able to speak and they're like, Patty, why don't you come to Hong Kong and give this presentation? But you do so much more than that. But I'm thrilled to have you here tonight. Patty, how are you doing?
I'm good. I just had a great Monday reorganizing my basement, practicing what I preach, just hanging out.
Yeah.
What was your Monday?
My Monday was very nap-oriented. It wasn't my goal. Got up, I took a shower, I got to my computer, I got through my morning meetings, and I was like, I'll just rest my eyes for a moment. And then I rested my eyes in my recliner, and then I moved to my bed to rest my eyes for a couple more hours. So now I have like truly a lot of energy because I am well rested.
Oh, good, good. Well, one of the primary questions in my coaching programs, especially in Cultivate Club, is we're always asking ourselves, what's true right now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like living in like improvisationally.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you might have improv does not go very well when you have a scene in your head mm-hmm. that you want to play out. You have to take the moment as it comes. And so by asking ourselves constantly, what's true right now in this season of my life, but what's true right now for me in this moment of I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the energy I thought I was going to have. I'm going to lay down and rest and see what happens. I needed the rest, it turns out,
mm-hmm.
and I took it. And life is so much kinder to us when we operate that way.
Yeah. It's true. It is. Because I could have – it happened this weekend. I was on the phone with a friend, and she was like, I can tell you're falling asleep. Oh, and I was like, am I? And she was like, yes. Goodbye. So I'm getting better about actually – taking the naps instead of powering through, which is a big life lesson for sure. So something you did today is you had a no meeting Monday, which I'm just really curious about. I saw it on your Instagram.
Yes. No meeting Mondays. Now, every now and then something comes up and I'll take a meeting on a Monday, but I liked my Monday to occur without any obligations on the schedule,
mm-hmm.
especially in the morning.
Yeah.
So we have a date right now. We had a meeting on a Monday,
yes.
but this is very much something I was looking forward to and knew that by the time it rolled around, I'd be ready to engage.
Yeah.
So yeah, no meeting Mondays for me are just what it sounds like. I don't let myself schedule anything. So I have this expansive time period to really think and be and plot out my life, pursue whatever is calling me that day. And they're really joyful. So every Sunday night I'm happy because there's no meetings
looming
waiting for me on Monday.
You don't have the Sunday scaries.
There are no Sunday scaries. And for me, and maybe it's because I'm a little bit scatterbrained at times, or it's kind of the season of my life of being a parent where your attention is divided by my needs and my daughter's needs. So Sunday night is sometimes a lot of scrambling around backpacks and take a shower. And do I have lunch meat and all that. And so sometimes I don't always get around to taking a look at my schedule and really getting a grip on what the week involves ahead. So I know that Monday is going to be my little cushion.
It's so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So pleasant. And behind you, so you've got a beautiful Zoom background, even though we're not on Zoom. You've got your banner for the Cultivate Club, which I had the honor of being a guest at a Cultivate Club to introduce folks to some of the traditions of Shabbat. You know, lighting candles and blessing the wine and blessing the challah, blessing the bread. And I know that you are kind of like applications are open or you're recruiting for Cultivate Club. What is Cultivate Club about?
Yeah, so Cultivate Club is really a culmination of everything I've ever done. I have this kind of eclectic professional background. Mm-hmm. Always wanted to change the world, always interested in self-improvement, community, collective betterment, making a difference and doing well by doing good is sort of a common thread through all that I've done. So Cultivate Club is a year-long personal development experience that we do in groups. So it's kind of like a self-care sorority of getting together with like-minded women, although we have some men already who are requesting to join and we're letting them in to join us. And instead of starting the year off with these grandiose proclamations and then having it fail 3 weeks in, we commit to a year of practice and we bite off one thing at a time. So every month we have a different theme. And they build on one another. So the first month we focus on self. And then we focus on body and our relationship with time. The next month, money, creativity. And each month we ask ourselves, what's true right now? What do I need to clear? What do I need to cultivate? Who do I need to connect with? And what am I celebrating? And we have some core practices that we do around some of those things. And people take what they need from it. So it's very much a program that people customize to their own situation. And we are wrapping up our very first year of Cultivate Club and excited to see that people are signing up again for a second year.
Nice.
Because every time someone said it's kind of like, it's almost like a spiritual practice where it's the same practices, but you keep coming through them as a different person each time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a type of learning in Judaism called Musar, which are different virtues and values. And, you know, Judaism has a practice of, we read the Torah every year. You keep spiraling back to the same concept every year, and you bring something new to the Torah. And Musar is a study of different virtues where, like, for 1 month you might study in a group one particular virtue. And I wish I took an intro to Musar class a few years ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to do this. And then life happened. But it is, I think it's such a valuable practice, especially if you've got the people that you're talking to regularly and everyone's committed to showing up.
Right. So that's what we all have in common. And I think there are not a lot of places to get this. Either people they all are in the same faith.
Right.
Or they're all recovering from something very similar, whether it's an addiction or an illness or a life situation. There's more diversity in our groups in that way. I have people from all over the world. I have clients in Australia and Japan and all over the US, a bunch of people from Germany and the UK signed up for this next round. And then from the presentation that you did with us, I didn't even realize how diverse our group was until we had that event and we had Mormons in the room and people who were leaving the Mormon church. We had people who were kind of questioning non-believers. We had Buddhists and it was, you know, really amazing to see. But here we are all working together kind of on our own individual path of personal development in this group together. It's really cool.
I used to take a writing class in Chicago. Kim Clark was the teacher. He has since passed on. But in his first class with people, he would say, like, you're not allowed to ask each other what you do. You have to get to know each other through your writing. You have to get to know, you know, but what do you spend your day doing is not the question you're allowed to ask. And I think, like, Cultivate Club, you're in a situation where what's your religion isn't the question people are going to ask, right? Like, so it was interesting. I thought it was super interesting that you had it seemed like people finding out that they were very different places. For whatever reason, the Mormon church stood out to me because it's the one I know the least about, but that there were people who were active that within their family, some had come and some had gone, but it didn't turn into a fight. It didn't become disrespectful. It didn't, like, nobody tried to convince anybody they were wrong. I thought that was really, like, powerful to be in the room for.
It's almost, I spent a lot of my time in the club, and now that the world is thawing out a little bit with COVID and we're starting to reconnect with people, I'm realizing what a special environment I've created, not just for myself, but the people in it. And what we're trying to do is not just get along with one another, but really create almost like a template experience of what we should expect when we spend time with other people. This is what it feels like to be heard and seen mm-hmm. and loved for who you are and respect everybody else's path, but hold our own at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're all engaging with our families and our friendship circles and our workplaces differently as a result of this experience this year.
Wow, that's wonderful. Wonderful. And it does, to me, it does seem like such a, it makes sense on the things that I have done in your house, or you used to have this little workshop space in Uptown. I think that's where one of the places where we met for the first time. I don't remember what the event was, but I do remember there was like a PBS host there, but just being a regular dude. Like from Wild Chicago or something,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, why am I blinking on his name? It's
he feels like a Steve to me.
No, it was Wild Chicago is the show that he used to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot that he was there, but we did do work together. Yeah, that was, I had a business right after grad school called Full Circle, and it was all about helping groups come together through service.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my networking tools was have this event called Full Circle Forum, where I would just invite all the people that I've met, because you can only have so much coffee before it becomes your full-time job.
Right.
And so when I met someone cool, I would add them to the Full Circle Forum list, and I'd have some kind of discussion prompt or a speaker, and you were the speaker mm-hmm. talking about social media. And yeah, we got a great group of people together, and we were in this art space, and the suggested donation went to support the art space in Uptown. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you also in Chicago would host these legendary January 1, possibly January 2 vision board parties that like people would show up with magazines and paper and scissors and cover every square inch of your apartment, making their vision boards for the coming year, mm-hmm. Which was always wonderful. I mean, maybe I only went 2 or 3 times, but it feels like I went forever.
I love that event. And there was, I want to get back to that woman who hosted those events to some extent, because what's happened when I was doing them then, I don't know how old I was, younger, and it was okay that I lived in this like shabby chic apartment mm-hmm. and, you know, asked everyone to have a potluck, and it was very casual. And as I've, maybe it's partly the move to New York, mm-hmm. partly my age, I'm supposed to be a certain status, and all these shoulds that we do to ourselves, I've realized they've really made me feel a little bit isolated, because people have an expectation. Oh, if you're successful, you're supposed to live in a house that looks like this. If you are a Marie Kondo consultant, you're supposed to have your home set up in a certain way. And my joy is mine.
Right.
And I've realized, I guess with, I don't know, awareness, maturity, but also fear of, wow, the expectations have changed. And there, I do live in this like reality. There is a little bit of a double bind here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be open, but also I need to protect myself from judgment. So I'm right. a little bit more protective over who I let inside my life.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Yeah. But the vision boards are still, I'm staring at my vision board mm-hmm. right now. A really important tool to help us connect with what we really desire.
Mm-hmm.
And when I facilitate vision board parties, what people are surprised by is always the instruction not to put on the board what you think you should.
Right.
But to allow yourself to just trust that whatever's resonating with you is what is yours to put on your board when yep. you're going through the images. So my boards often, I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Absolutely. There are definitely times when I'm flipping through magazines and I'm like, ooh, that's great. What's that? And I'm never No, to say I'm never is too strong. I try not to go into it with a too strong of an agenda, but I might say, like, I'm looking for travel pictures, but not, I'm looking for a mountain. I'm looking for Mount Kilimanjaro. Like, no, I'm looking for travel. And then, or I'm looking for romance pictures, or I'm looking for, like, cozy pictures. And then you just see what happens.
Because you have this little nudge that says, I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
Right. And you follow that.
Yeah.
And I might, there's a request from Cultivate Club for me to host one. So I might do it for Cultivate Club, and you're welcome to join us. Also, Saya Hillman of Mac and Cheese Productions does a blueprint board workshop.
Yeah.
She's doing it on January 1, and she facilitates it very well.
Nice.
She brings up all these questions that prime you before you go about. Although her approach is a little different. Her approach is to have a goal in mind.
Right.
And to use the images to reflect the steps that it's going to take to get there, which is great.
Yeah.
Great too.
Well, I know that in talking about what you do with your time, we have touched on some of your favorite things, but what is the favorite thing we're going to talk about today?
I don't know. This is such an open-ended thought. What should we focus on? My favorite thing.
So it can be like a hobby you love, a book you love.
Well, one of my favorite things at the moment that I really struggle with, because it's a little bit like an addiction.
Okay.
And it's very joyful. And I'm trying to parse together what's the joy and what's the compulsion. And I am addicted to thrift store shopping. And I love vintage sweaters and clothes. So that's what I'm into. That's one of my favorite things right now. I don't know if that's what we want to talk about.
Let's start there. We'll start there.
Okay.
Have you always been a thrift store person, or is this a newer thing? Because I love the idea of a thrift store. I will donate to thrift stores. I don't have the hunter gene it takes to be successful at thrift stores. So when did thrift stores become a place that you found were successful shopping?
Kind of always.
Yeah.
So I live in Huntington, and my grandparents, who I was very close to, lived in Huntington as well. So I grew up, you know, the town over.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very frugal people, but invested in the right things. You know, they paid for me to go to college and high quality summer camps, that kind of thing. And we would go to garage sales together. Mm-hmm. And it's a wealthy area. There's a lot of great garage sales to go to. And this local thrift store, the Holiday House, my grandmother would take me there. And I have memories. The building is a totally different building. It's newer now. And so it's this little gem of a thrift store. All the money goes to support this summer camp. So the thrift store shuts down during the summer. And it brings in girls from, I guess, New York City, who otherwise couldn't afford to go to a country kind of summer camp.
Right.
And it's really, you know, it's cool to think that all of your money is going to support this organization. Mm-hmm. I really love that everything I'm buying is given a second or third chance at life.
Mm-hmm.
I love that I can make purchases without the commitment, right? Of like, let's try it. It's only $2.
Right.
If it doesn't work out, I'll donate it right back. Definitely the hunter-gatherer thing.
Right.
Is happening. That's like the addiction part that I need to kind of watch out for. But I've gotten, with the Marie Kondo stuff, I have a more discerning eye. I kind of know exactly what I'm looking for.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess it started in childhood with these like warm and fuzzy feelings of my grandparents. Mm-hmm.
And going garage sailing, going to this particular thrift store you still go to as an adult.
And I still go there. Right. Yeah. And so I don't go to the mega thrift stores occasionally. Mm-hmm. I will, like the Savers and the Goodwills. Occasionally I'll have a good time in those places. Usually it's better if I am looking for something specific.
Okay.
There's two small ones that I go to here in Huntington that both my grandparents took me to. And it's like walking into a boutique.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiny and they curate the selection really well. So it's fun.
And you have been, I happen to know, in a micro season of sequins lately.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Are you able to find shiny things at thrift stores, or is that more something you have to go to a non-thrift store?
No, well, this I have a sequins top. There's this little vintage store called Rosie's Vintage that's near me where I grab the sequins top. So I'm coming out of an era of being invisible, okay? Mm-hmm. Of feeling like I never had a really great sense of style,
mm-hmm.
and struggled with all that is packed in there. And we could pick that apart another time or later if you want. And so I, for a long time, was trying to go for this like Steve Jobs type uniform. That was mm-hmm. my objective. I just need to figure out what works for me and just try not to embarrass myself when it comes to getting dressed. Like, just have it be neutral. No one's uh-huh. commenting on, like, you look so great, but also no one's like, she doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes to my anxiety, especially, like, when it comes to adulting. It's like, you know, I once had a mentor. I said, you know, I really need a stylist. She goes, yes, you do. And she actually paid Ooh. For me to work with one. And at the time, I was working at Groupon, where all the tech guys would wear whatever the hell they wanted. But because I was a woman, I wasn't allowed to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when I wore my green track jacket suit to work, I looked ridiculous, apparently.
Right.
So I struggled for a long time. And I was like, let me just, you know, wear the same thing every day. And a lot of it was black.
Mm-hmm.
And my process of trying to figure out who I am,
yeah,
and how I want to show up in the world and have what my another Cultivate Club speaker, Stacia Savasik, says is inside out congruency.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tools that we use in Cultivate Club is this idea of the alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
And I tapped into this. Oh, so this is related to thrift store. I tapped into the power of the alter ego when my family went to Disney World. And I was getting ready to write the minimalist guide to going to Disney World. And I thought, oh, I'd have this capsule wardrobe and I would have black, white, red with a little bit of polka dot mm-hmm. action to be a little bit Minnie Mouse. And that would be that. And as I was researching, I stumbled upon this subculture of people that go Disney bounding. Mm-hmm. Do you know about this?
This is where you create an outfit that is inspired. Because adults aren't allowed to wear costumes to Disney, right?
Right.
So this is like, I'm going to wear a purple suit and I'm going as the genie, or I'm going like,
yeah,
right? You're yes. you're like,
so
you are, explain it better.
You're like a nod. You nod to the character. The most famous Disney bounder is John Stamos and his wife.
Really?
Yes. So she's way
idea.
She's way into this, and I think she dragged him into it. I'm not sure.
Right.
So yeah. So if you're gonna dress up as Ariel, like I did, mm-hmm. you'd wear a green skirt and a purple top and like a red scarf, and I had a little necklace that had a shell on it, you know. And mm-hmm. I dressed up as Alice, and wore a white skirt and a jean jacket and a black bow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I discovered this, and it sparked so much joy in me. And yeah. I did not want to acknowledge it. I did not, because it was not on brand for the minimalist KonMari consultant to be into this.
Mm-hmm.
But the KonMari method also taught me what joy is supposed to feel like in my body.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is genuine joy.
Yeah.
And so I went thrift shopping like a mad woman and got to buy all these little cool things that you see at the thrift store that I would never wear in my mm-hmm. regular life. Like I bought this necklace that has it's a long necklace with a clock on it. So it was like the white rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought, you know, a ring with an owl on it. And it was kind of like Aurora from Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
These different characters. And I had my husband at the time was kind of game to play yeah. along, which is nice. And my daughter was 6. So she was way into it. My wardrobe, like, tripled. I brought like 5 suitcases to Disney World. We had two outfit changes a day. It was the most absurd thing ever. But what it also taught me was that, so when I was walking around to Disney World, and when you're in Disney, you're walking like 15 miles a day.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a mini skirt with polka dots and wedge heels with, you know, red and white wedge heels and really dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fine. And I also felt like I could, because I wasn't acting like Patty. I was acting like Minnie Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Minnie Mouse would do in Disneyland. Right. And Disneyland and Disney World, I should say, is filled with a bunch of dorks who are like into it with
yes,
you.
Yes, right.
But when you're trying to try on a personality out in the world, the stakes are too high.
Mm-hmm.
So when I want to experiment with, well, who is Patty and how does she show up in the world? That's really hard to do, to step outside of your little box of right. what people know you for. And I was a very granola kind of woman. I had a job in New York City and I would wear Chaco sandals to the office, which they're cool now. Tevas and Chacos yeah. are cool now. But at the time, an office mate of mine was like, wow, that's brave of you to wear those to the office.
No.
And I was like, I don't care. I'm not that person. Anyway, so I created this alter ego of Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
That's her name. She's about 75 years old, and she has this really wild sense of style, and she gives no fucks, but she's totally kind and great with kids and curses sometimes, but this is who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
But I can use Sylvia in moments where there's a discrepancy between Patty and Sylvia,
mm-hmm.
and say, well, this is what Sylvia would do. And it's not just about the clothes, but it's about the behavior behind it and the embodiment of the clothes. So I was trying to learn how to swim, and because that's what 75-year-old ladies do. They go, like, wade in the water at the beach with, like, yeah. a flowery swim cap. And so I have this, like, neon green sporty bikini thing. And I am learning how to swim. I'm not that I wasn't that confident at it at the time. And I was embarrassed to go swim in front of all these people at the beach in the really shallow water next to the 3-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is what Sylvia would do. She would just go in there and do her laps and float around
yeah.
and not really care.
Yeah.
So it's been life-changing. But Sylvia does wear a lot of sequins.
Mm-hmm.
Today at the thrift store, which is why this probably came up, I dropped off some donations. And then I, of course, had to go check it.
Well,
check
you gotta peruse, inventory. Gotta see what's there. Yep.
So I bought a gold top with black polka dots, and the arms are kind of like, it looks like a flying squirrel, like uh-huh. the arms are kind of attached.
Love it.
It's very cool. I'm into it. I did a little joy jig in the dressing room of the mm-hmm. thrift store. I was like, I have to have this. So yeah, it's been a fun way to experiment. That's why I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I did just buy a sequin caftan. Like a rose gold, like big sequins. The sequins are like an inch, like big yes. ones from Fringe and Company in New Orleans. It's a brand I found out about on TikTok. So not thrifted because you can't find, you know, 5X thrifted sequin caftans. But I was like, this, I sent it to my friend Amy and I was like, is this too much for my Hanukkah party? And for my last chemo, I'm buying a sequin caftan to wear to my final chemo. And I've bought it now and it'll be here this week.
Oh my gosh. So a friend of a friend of mine, he's a creative director. He just had his 40th birthday and it was a caftan party.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had to wear one and his was all sequins.
Love it.
That is so cool.
This company has half the models on their page are men. And caftans. A lot of my guy friends are starting to get into caftans this year.
I have a new collection going.
Yeah.
So my daughter, Vivian, right? You know, Viv.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into vintage nightgowns too.
Yeah.
And also I live in this like compartmentalized life where like my boyfriend lives in his house and I live in my house and it's like Patty's world over here. So not that I would change my behavior for him, but I have a different alter ego for him. Let's just say that. You're right. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the alter ego at my house is like grandmother. And so I'm wearing these like long nightgowns. This one was a little silky. Sometimes they're flannel. And I put on this vintage robe and I'm like, this is what women are supposed to wear. Instead of fighting against our bodies, it has mm-hmm. this like big ruffle, has these puffy sleeves. It's like a light teal aqua blue
mm-hmm.
and it ties right around the waist. I felt like Marilyn Monroe in this robe. Mm. So I'm wearing this thing. And then when Vivian wakes up, sorry, I'm dying. When she wakes up this morning, she goes, Mom, what are you wearing?
Oh, she's so embarrassed.
She would not let me sit out by the bus with her this morning.
Oh, Viv.
I know. It was so funny. But she's into it. So also today, she's really into the 80s. She thinks mm-hmm. She feels like she should have been born in the 80s or born in the 70s so that she was an 80s kid. And for Christmas, she asked for one of those like Michael Jackson red leather jackets.
Okay.
Or like 80s slouchy arm jackets. So mm-hmm. there was one at this antique store. I bought that today for her for Christmas. And it was like $50, you know,
right.
for a used jacket. But it's very cool. Very Viv.
Oh, that's exciting. And she only wants to have grown up in the 80s because she's growing up in the 20s. You can... The neon colors are brighter now, you know... Everything's safer, a little bit safer than it was in the 80s. So this is a good version of the 80s to be growing up in.
Yes.
So.
She was careful to tell me, she's like, I want 80s clothes for Christmas, but not like I heart the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Like a mockery. She's like, I want authentic 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My sister's oldest son has been wearing Rain and I's vintage clothes in high school. And we're about out of, there's not a lot of vintage stuff left in our childhood rooms. Because he's been wearing our authentic vintage 90s, 80s and 90s t-shirts and sweatshirts because they're like cut a little bit longer. And I gave him my letter jacket this summer.
Mm.
But I think he did just order his own.
Okay, that's on my list mm-hmm. to order a varsity jacket for yeah. Cultivate Club. And I just, right before I got on with you, I was ordering sweatshirts for the club. And I want like 1990s Princess Diana crew neck sweatshirt with mm-hmm. like the curved letters, like a college sweatshirt that hangs yeah. down low that you could wear like bike shorts with.
Yeah. Perfect. That'll be perfect.
Everyone has to have a little Diana in their alter ego, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really having a moment lately. I don't know what it... I don't know if there was something... Was there some sort of unofficial cap? Or, like, what is it that now there's, like, a musical... Is it that the Crown got to the Diana years and now we're all obsessed with it? Is it Meghan and Harry and we want the, like, real romance and wild story? Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I guess it's that it's 25 years since she died. That must be why it's such a Diana moment right now.
I don't know what it is. I've had her on my Pinterest board for a little while now.
Yeah.
Hailey Bieber, I think, kind of, at least when it comes to the bike shorts and the big sweatshirts,
right, sort
of revived that look. But the Diana moment is bigger than that right now.
Yeah.
The idea of the revenge dress.
Yes. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just that it's... So my TikTok this weekend was 100% Taylor Swift, the Red re-recording.
Yes.
Which I don't listen to Taylor Swift. I don't not listen to her. I'm just not a Swiftie. So I didn't know about... I knew that her masters had been kind of unethically taken from her, and I knew she was re-recording her hits. I didn't know about Jake Gyllenhaal or any of that stuff. But at the premiere of the music video for the 10-minute song or the movie that goes along with it, she essentially wore Diana's revenge dress. She wore like a little black dress with like the same neckline and like the rhinestones here. So there was a lot of TikTok commentary about Diana's revenge dress, Taylor essentially wearing it, doing this movie about Jake Gyllenhaal, the scarf. I know a lot about Taylor Swift for not being a fan.
Yeah, Viv and I are into it. We were listening to the album, driving out to our friends yesterday to help her organize her basement. That's my love language.
Yeah,
is organizing. I need to make a Chicago trip and
please do
come hang out with you. You know, clothing is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things when I wasn't giving it enough credit. And it's pretty easy to dismiss it. And people who love to throw things away, or even a lot of my colleagues in the professional organizing industry or the KonMari consultant industry, KonMari consultants are trained to be more sensitive to that, but the meaning and significance behind what we own and what we put on our bodies, it's not just about materialism. There's a much stronger connection there that people don't realize, I think, a lot of the time, until they have to start discarding it or they start to confront it. And I remember doing an organizing session once with this guy who was writing a story for a men's fitness magazine, and he only hired me because he kind of had to for the story,
right?
And he was shocked at how personally connected he was to his clothes. He started this one was, I went on a road trip in this, and this is from my first concert, and my ex-girlfriend really liked when I wore this one, and all of that.
Yeah, there's a lot in it. And there's also, it'll be interesting to see what happens to the organizing side of your business as people, like you had said, the world is thawing, right? I truly have clothes gathering dust because we've just been home for a year and a half. We've been home for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just the clothes that I haven't put on my body in 2 years because there was no reason, there was nowhere to go. There was no reason not to be in just sweats and comfy clothes and leggings. And so I had gotten a mystery box of something that Universal Standard does is occasionally they'll have mystery boxes. So I did a mystery box of dresses that I'm going to say arrived at my house on March 10th of 2020. You know, like three beautiful dresses. And I was like, oh, well, I guess it might be a couple months before I get to wear these. You know. It's
one of the, yeah, one of the things I did pretty early on in pandemic was, okay. And this is what I always do, right? It's mm-hmm. like you're confronted with change. And this is what my, what we practice in Cultivate Club. And it's my methodology is when you're confronted with change, what's true right now? Yeah. What needs to be cleared? And what the life I wanted to cultivate was, I always want to be in right relationship with the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And having a closet full of dresses that reminded me I used to get paid to speak on stage.
Right.
And, you know, I used to go out to bars and go on dates. And I, you know, it was upsetting to look at all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't supporting me in this moment. And so I put them all in bins in the basement, which is something I would, you know, that's not part of the KonMari method. The bin, put it away in a bin.
Uh-huh. Process. Wait and see if you need it later. Not part
of
it.
Yeah, wait and see. But I was like, listen, we're living in these weird times. We have to, I don't want to get rid of this stuff. I don't know what's coming next. I don't know who I'm becoming. I just have to take it one moment at a time. But the next moment, the moment I'm in right now is asking for matching sweatsuits. And so I went and bought, a few, set better lounge clothes so that I could mm-hmm. still feel good in the situation that I was in and didn't feel like I was in pajamas all day.
Yeah. Had something to like change myself. Into.
Exactly.
That's important.
Yeah. Yeah, the it was key to have, you still have to put on pajamas and still have to get dressed. For mm-hmm. me, that was an important moment.
Yeah. I am wearing daytime pajamas. I'm actually wearing a matching set of very, like, pink leopard print pants and a pink shirt with like a leopard print design on it. But love it's that. This is a daytime look.
Well, so when with the world thawing out, I'm curious about what's going to happen. What I think is going to happen is that people aren't going to care so much about what other people are doing. And the New York Times just had an article about, is denim having an identity crisis? Because there's no consensus right now in the fashion world of what's cool.
Hmm.
It's like, are bell bottoms cool? Are these like flared cropped jeans cool?
Right.
Are skinny jeans cool? Are high-waisted, low-waisted, baggy? It's
everything.
All over,
everything's
it's
cool.
All over the place. So fashion is having a moment of really being a way to express your individuality, which is beautiful. But the article also highlighted there's a sadness to it because there's no collective experience of it.
Yeah.
Like we're all doing this. We're all having this moment together. I went to a wedding on Thursday and I was like, I'm so excited to put on heels uh-huh. and dance and wear a dress. And I love who I get to be when I'm dressed up like that.
Yeah.
And so I walk in there. This is at a winery, like a wine bar winery in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is wearing black. And I'm like, oh my God, I missed the memo.
Oh no.
I thought I had, but there was no memo. Everyone,
right.
And I started freaking out and asking some of the other guests. They're like, no, it's just New York. I was like, okay, because I was wearing a pink leopard dress.
Outstanding.
And which is probably, now that I look at it, probably not in season. I'm probably off some, I'm violating some fashion rule that maybe I'm supposed to wear that in the spring or the summer. But who gives a shit?
If it's probably your first in-person wedding in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Go. Dress up. Yeah. worth it. I don't think I've been to one yet. Have I? I've been to like a number of Zoom weddings, but I haven't been to a good in-person wedding yet.
It was fun and it was indoors and, you know, there was crowd pass and everything mm-hmm. to make sure everything worked out with the vaccine. My sister did get married at the height of COVID in August. She proceeded her wedding. It was outdoor at a farm. Beautiful. And she just lucked out and had the perfect day so everyone could be socially distant and outside. And I found a good dress for that one. That was fun.
Nice. Did Viv get your hunt and gather thrift store gene?
No.
Oh.
Sometimes she'll engage with me in the thrift store. Like, mm-hmm. I think because it's kind of like with my grandparents, it's a source of our connection. And she knows that's what I like to do. And now she's got this like interest in the 80s.
Yeah.
But her attention span for it is like very short.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll like have some interest for a moment, but I think she sees the addict in me come out and I think it's concerning to her because I get this like laser, like psychotic look I'm sure on my face. That's like, I can't even, I'm just scanning and I'm really good at finding good stuff.
Right.
And she's like, Mom, it's time to go. So there's a lot of times when she's dragging me out and I feel like very shameful, like my child is dragging me out of the store like I'm like at a bar. But it's one of those things that I think it's all the above. You can hear the genuine joy as I'm talking about it and
mm-hmm.
making me feel better talking to you about it. Cause I'm like, I really do genuinely like it. And the damage is minimal, right? I'm not like going into debt over my thrift store shopping. I'm not polluting the environment. All the money's going to a charity. Here, see how I justify. I have a good process of discarding, so it's not like I'm hoarding all this stuff in my house and it's not a hospitable environment to live in, but it is a little fine line.
I do love the smell of a thrift store. You know, it's like a used bookstore, a library. There's something to that, I don't know, decaying glue. not a musty, moldy thrift store, but, you know, there's something sensory-wise very appealing to me about a thrift store. But I just, part of it's that I'm fat. So, like, I've always been tall. I've always been big. So like the chances of me, I wear size 11, verging on 12 shoes. So, right. So like the chances of me finding something good for myself were always slim. So I think that's part of why I never got into them, because I just want to go to the three stores I can go to and buy the clothes I can buy. Mm-hmm. But my nephew who's moved here, he got his degree in textiles, and walking through a thrift store with him, as he, you know, like can look at the stitching or like hold on to something, and his opinion about the fabric, how it was made, you know, like that to me is really interesting. I like being a plus one with someone who knows how to do thrift stores.
Oh yeah. And there's other things I collect too. I mean, clothing is sort of fun, and I like the low commitment to, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if this style works, but I'm going to bring it home and I'm going to play with it. I was kind of describing to one of my clients, I'm like, I figured out what I want. I want two closets. I want one closet that's my Steve Jobs closet.
Yeah.
That's my go-tos. I wear it every day. I feel put together. And a costume closet, basically.
Great, yeah.
It's like theme party, I'm going somewhere, mm-hmm. doing something wild. I want to try on this persona today and have it be like that. But other things I love to collect at the thrift store are get a lot of like tablescape stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So candlesticks and placemats. I get a lot of cool cloth napkins. I love like vintage prints and patterns. I love old greeting cards and old wrapping paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like I And I use it. So I don't I don't treat it like it's precious. I take it home. I use the napkins. They get stained and torn. And then I buy some more. You know, I'm collecting Christmas decorations. So my first stop is always to go to the thrift store, like kind of you have to go early, right? Like right after Halloween when they put everything out. And I've started this collection of this like Christmas tree pattern that you start to see around in different places. So it feels fun.
Nice.
And I have limited space. I live in a small house. So I really feel like I'm curating this collection now instead of just like buying aimlessly.
Yeah. Is there anything about going to thrift stores, if you've got someone who's not a hunter-gatherer?
Yes.
And you wanted to set them up for success going to a thrift store, what is advice you would give them? Them being me.
Okay. There are a few different goals, I think, that you can have at a thrift store. There's hunting and gathering is you're going in it with the aim to get something, right? You want to win. But I also enjoy thrifting when I can't even take anything home, like when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
And so it's really just fascinating to me. It feels like I'm walking through a museum and I just kind of browse and I touch things and I like, where did this come from? Who owned this? Why did they own it? Which is why I'm like, why I love to do what I love to do.
Right.
Is, you know, spend time with people going through their belongings and helping them decide what they want to keep and what they want to let go of. I'm fascinated by the potential stories behind things and who could have owned it. So I kind of just take it in, especially if you're in a nice, like, antique-y kind of store that's been curated or these little thrift stores. But if you go into one of these like mega thrift stores, you can think like, what am I into? I'm into books, right? I used to buy a lot of thrifted books. And there's something about a book costing 50 cents or a dollar that I just let the book come to me, whatever the universe wants me to read. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to read right now? I have found some of the most spiritually transformational books that way.
Hmm.
Like they found me.
Yeah.
At the thrift store. I used to teach, when I taught the KonMari seminars, people would say, oh, I would remember you would walk around on that stage with that old messed up book with all your pink post-its flying out of it. And I was like, yeah, this book was kind of my companion when I was teaching those courses. So find a section like that, or if you love t-shirts, you can go find a smaller section and just see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
I always approach all shopping that I do from a place of knowing what I already have.
Yeah.
And knowing what the gaps are so I can find some of those things. And so before I take anything home, I think, you know, does this spark joy for me genuinely?
Right.
Do I need to own it or am I just kind of...
Do I just want to enjoy it here for a few minutes?
Yeah. Do I think it's just delightful? So one of the things is like, I have no more wall space. I can't really buy any more like art things to put on my wall. And I can't really buy any more knickknacks. I don't have a lot of shelves. You're
running out of shelves. Yeah.
So that's a little sad. I find all these cute little things and I just have to leave them behind.
Patty, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah. I spend probably most of my time on Instagram at Patty Morrissey. You can also follow me at Clear Cultivate. And that's where we share my free Friday. So every Friday I do a free workshop. Sometimes I'm the speaker. Sometimes my Cultivate Club coaches are the speakers. But it's a lot like that Full Circle Forum thing that I was talking about. It's just a cool place to hang out and learn something new. And more importantly, just be in a space where you're connecting with other people who are down to earth and keeping it real. And then my website, clearcultivate.com, are probably the best ways to connect.
Outstanding. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Leah.
Don't actually hang up yet.
I won't.
Okay. You can find me. I'm at Chicago Leah on Twitter and TikTok, at Shy Leah on Instagram, and Finding Faves Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Please subscribe, share this podcast with someone, write a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps. And keep enjoying your favorite things.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.